Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Carolla Classics is brought to you by Pure Talk. Look, we're going to be really direct with you here. If your cellular plan is with Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, you are simply paying way too much for the exact same coverage you'd be getting right now with Pure Talk. Look at your cell phone bill. Check out its data usage. The average person who switches to Pure Talk is using less than 4 gigs of data a month, but the big carriers are charging you for unlimited data. It's like paying for an entire row on an airplane, but only needing one seat. That's why you got to check out Pure Talk. Or as Gio put it, don't pay for a buffet if you're only eating one plate. That's how Pure Talk saves the average person over $400 a year on their wireless service. Unlimited talk, text, and 2 gigs of data, all for just $20 a month. And if you go over on data, they don't charge you for it. So all you have to do is go to puretalkusa.com, enter the promo code ADAMPODCAST, and you'll also save 50% off your first month. That's puretalkusa.com, promo code ADAMPODCAST. Pure Talk is simply smarter wireless. Hello and welcome to Carolla Classics for October 24th, 2020. The show where we highlight some of the greatest gems of the Adam Carolla Show. Over 11 years of podcasting, and we got some clips for you right here. My name's Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, our Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
There's far too many episodes, Chris. I'm well past Lucy in the chocolate factory with the conveyor belt.
Yeah, it's getting a little overwhelming, but luckily, thanks for getting that chocolate, because we got some bite-sized nuggets right here. Let's start it off with a listener request. This is from Andrew H. He writes, Gio, thank you. Thank you, thank you for all the classics podcasts. I've been listening to a lot of your stuff to get a break from virus talk. Remember when Adam was talking about people correcting Wiener's last name? Not Wiener, it's Weiner. He's talking about Anthony Wiener. Then Adam made a comparison about if Monica Lewinsky's last name was. And then I don't want to step on the clip too much, but it's pretty fantastic. He says, thanks for the good work, fellas. Andrew.
He mentioned it was talked about on the Adam and Drew show. That's where it originated. And we can probably play those clips, which we will at some point.
Yeah.
But until then, he won the first time it was played on the ACS, the first time Adam brought it up. It's Adam Carolla Show 1130, featuring Paul Scheer, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. This is from July of 2013. And he asked them what they think of his funny idea from the Adam and Drew show. Check it out.
News with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison, Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with zip it cut. It's Allison, Allison.
So Anthony Weiner's campaign manager has now quit. But Weiner is evidently still in the race for mayor. This whole thing, the fact that he's still sexting and sending photos of his junk, came out while when we got back from New York, but we haven't been in. This is the first time we're back in the studio since
right.
this happened. Are
right.
you up on the whole story, Adam?
Yeah, I was laughing when Dr. Drew and I were doing our podcast together because I said, if I were Anthony Weiner, the beginning of every press conference I ever had from this day on would start with, by the way, it's Weiner. It's always yeah. been Weiner. I was always called, it's pronounced Weiner. It's a German name. It is not Weiner. It's Weiner. So please, if you could get it right, because I said to Drew, which made him laugh quite a bit, I said, imagine if Monica Lewinsky's last name was Chugscock. Do you think she would go, no, it's a French name. It's called Chugscock. It is not Chugscock. Why not just call it Weiner?
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's too late in the game, but it's
no, because he's a man
he
of integrity.
By changing his name to Carlos Danger. He just went too extreme.
Right.
he just took it a little bit too far. Here's my issue with this. What's the big deal about sexting and being a mayor? Is that really
being married?
I mean, look, she's been along for the ride. I mean, I feel like...
No, but, this... no, but he said sexting and being a mayor, right?
Yeah, right? I mean, is that a...
Oh, being a mayor.
I'm really going back and forth on Wiener because...
Yeah, you are. See? Wiener. Saved us all a lot of grief.
Because on the one hand, I agree with you that why does it really matter? And yet, he seems so lecherous to me. There's something about... Like, I feel like I'm trying to be open-minded about it, but I look at him and all I... This is such a distraction at this point. And there just seems to be something so... reckless and almost predatory.
But we come from a world where, like, you know, you go like JFK and Clinton, where these men definitely have had affairs and with all sorts of different type of women, and they were in much higher power.
Well, see, at one point I was thinking, you know, he didn't actually have physical affairs with these women.
Exactly.
However, this, for some reason, feels more like he's like a flasher or
something.
It's
creepier.
It's
like,
creepier.
If you said he slept with a woman, it would be like, oh, that's a bad thing, but sexting is like, ew, it's gross. Yeah. It seems like...
Well, it's all of the sort of potential negative baggage of an affair without the cum shot.
Yeah. Right.
So it's like, I'm going to risk it all for nothing. If that's what I don't... That's what
well,
I like.
Well, it suggests that what he gets off on is this virtual sex.
Right. Oh. So for me, a couple things. you know, guys can... First off, I'm starting to realize that being... a mayor or governor, or lieutenant governor, or even the president, starting to realize I don't think there's that much involved with the gig anymore. Like, I just feel like all these guys are doing is either campaigning, playing golf, visiting another country, going to a funeral, hang out with an ambassador. And it just, I think we're at the point where the country just sort of runs itself. I mean, Los Angeles had a semi-retarded mayor for like 11 years and it just kind of ran. Like, it just kind of, I mean, does anyone think the mayor of Los Angeles was out, like, burning the midnight oil, drafting up documents and legislation?
All you do is cross your fingers that no natural disaster happens and that's it. Like, I think it's the only time when you are really tested as like a mayor.
Yeah, because the rest of the time he's fucking a reporter or he's out of the country or whatever he is. I mean, literally, our mayor worked like 14% of the time. Like, he worked like an hour and 11 minutes a day.
That's generous.
The LA mayor one time was at an event and he came out and his opening line was, and very sincerely, like, this is very important to me. Tonight, I actually did not go and work out. I normally work out, and I came here instead because you mean that much to me. I was like, wait, and it was not a joke. It was like he was being sincere. He was like, you're telling me that you came to this event and you didn't work out today? Like, that's...
So my feeling is, A, I don't know how much we need these guys. I know good mayors can make a difference, but I think everyone else just kind of... It's like, I'm going to put this... ship on autopilot. You sit up here and try not to get drunk, and we'll see if we can get through this. And so that's one side. The other side, the decision making in impulse control scares me a little bit.
Yeah.
Like Clinton, and to some degree, and for sure, like with the Kennedy situation, in the Kennedy era, it was understood. That's what you did. You're almost an outsider if you weren't banging an intern, number one. Right. You'd be frowned upon, you know, with the press when you guys went out for highballs after that. And so there was an element of he knew he could get away with it, so thus he did. Now you have to know you're not going to get away with it, and you have to sort of – it's like back in the day when a guy would rob a bank and a cop car would come behind him in the 30s and the banjo music would fire up and he'd turn down the dirt road, you're like, oh, that guy's trying to outrun that cop.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Now there's a helicopter in the air and there's a guy talking to a guy that's five cities in front of you and he's putting out a tax strip and stuff. Now if you run from the cops, you're fucking nuts because there's just no possible way because there's a helicopter and there's a radio. So technology's basically said you can't unrun. So back then when the guy would run from the cop, I'd go, maybe he can make it.
Yeah.
Now I go, he's insane.
Right, he'll get caught.
So when Kennedy fucks an intern, I go, maybe he can get away with it. When Wiener is texting pictures of his cock, you're like, well, now he's insane.
Well,
yeah,
and
it's
doing
really
it
curious.
Again.
Right.
Like, that's the thing that's the most upsetting.
Oh, yeah, because he was leading
right. In
the polls. I think that people were willing to give him another chance. It's just now it's like, I don't know. It does seem self-destructive. And Sydney Leathers, who's the woman with whom he was sexting most recently, she gave an interview and she said that he didn't really seem to be going that far to protect himself.
It's
like, he had asked
Leathers.
Her.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
Yeah. I want a reality show between his wife, Wiener's wife, and
Huma.
Huma. Because that,
Huma.
Yeah. What is that house like? What is going on there? That is a tense environment.
In that press conference, she looked like she wanted to kill him, even though she's saying she's...
Did she know she wanted to kill him 6 months ago when he did it the last time, or whenever it was?
Oh, here's the reality show. We get her together with... Remember that teacher that was getting it on with her, like, 13-year-old?
Mary Kay Letourneau?
Mary Kay Letourneau. Yeah, we get, like, Mary Kay Letourneau's... No, her husband.
Oh,
that's a good one, yeah.
Because that motherfucker had to move to Alaska. Like, you're literally living in this town with your four kids, and your wife is dating the 14-year-old Samoan kid, and then they're like, then she goes to jail, then she, like, gets out and goes, we're still getting back together, and stuff. Yeah. Like, you have to move.
Yeah.
The humiliation factor on the cuckolding that's going on is off
keeping
the fucking...
up with the cuckolds.
That's right.
Because if you're in the same town, you're going to run into those two going to, like, Chuck E. Cheese on a date.
Well, that's right. I always think about, like, what happens to those people on YouTube that have, like, those memes that go on, like the grape stomp lady or something like that. Like, the grape stomp lady cannot be hired again. Like, you know, she just went down, fell off that bottle of grapes.
Right.
You can never, if you Google that person, like, oh, that's it. My career is over. You have to go to Alaska.
You know, the guy I feel sorry for is the guy who bangs the grape stomp lady, after she's recovered fully. But he's just banging away and he's balls deep and he's going hard and she's like, it's okay. And nothing. Feels good. It feels good, but I don't hear anything coming out of you. Like, I told you it felt good.
I've done this before, and I usually
I saw the YouTube thing of you just fucking squealing for 20 minutes straight. Yeah, no, it feels good. I said it felt good. Nothing? Let me speed up a little bit. Yeah, now I'm starting to chafe. But no noise.
Never will give you that grape stomp reaction.
I want that grape stomp reaction. As the next guy has sex with, that's what you fucking want? All right.
So I went on Geraldo last night. There was a panel to talk about the wiener thing, and it was.
I heard. It was, I think somebody tweeted.
Did you check out
that.
His pecs, Geraldo? Didn't he take that picture?
Yes, he did. Yes. And I didn't say. I kept wondering, like, can I mention this? It seems apropos.
He took the picture of himself.
He really did. He took it down though. Oh, yeah. There's the photo. I don't know if you saw this. Geraldo tweeted a photo of himself.
I beat off to it.
Yeah. Same.
I don't like that when it gets so dangerously close to crotch, like when you start to see where the
we know a lot about his grooming right now.
Right,
said 70s. I had no idea he was 70. 70 is the new 50. Then he took it down, but he said that he had too much tequila. That's why he posted
it. I feel like
it.
He's been annoying people for a long time. I mean, like the vault, Al Capone's vault.
Oh,
remember that?
Watching
I mean, that was like 25 years ago.
Yeah, right. He did that.
Yeah. I ran into him. It was a weird thing, but talking about. Wives and sexting and all that kind of stuff. I did the Tonight Show when he was on the Tonight Show, and I think he said to me, like, hey, how's Dancing with the Stars or something? And I said, yeah, it's fine. You know, it's kind of a pain in the ass, but it's interesting, you know? And he said, yeah, wife won't let me do it. And I was like, well, why don't your wife? You want to do it? Why don't you? No, she thinks I'll get caught up with one of the ladies or something. And he kind of gave me like, hey. She may be right. Like, he just basically
he's on double secret probation?
Yeah, he just sort of said, there's no way I'm going to grind on some hot blonde's hip for 5 hours a day without something happening. Like, I'm a man of passion. Right. Like, this is...
See, he should run for New York mayor. He has impulse control.
That's so interesting. I'm realizing that, because almost every time I've done Geraldo, it's been to talk about some kind of sex scandal.
He's got it bad for you, baby. There's some guys that are wired, and I'm guessing Geraldo is, in a way that's like, if you're going to come up and grind your pelvis against them for 4.5 hours a day, shit's going to go down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's just how they are. They're passion infused. Yes.
So anyway, let me tell you about the most surreal experience ever. It was me, Marion Barry, who was there to talk about, being a disgraced politician. Yeah. Gail Haggard, wife of Pastor Ted Haggard.
Remember
him?
Yeah.
And then this woman who was from like a family values council place. So anyway, Marion Barry says that he never smoked crack. It was a plot against him.
Oh, yeah. He's never has admitted to that. And that's something there's proof. There is pictures.
Right.
Videotape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he says that they never proved what was in that pipe.
Oh, what else do you smoke in that? What else do you smoke
in
that?
Yeah, so then Geraldo's like, well, so what did you think you were smoking? What did you think you bought? And then, anyway, so that
tobacco.
Was insane.
Could have been something else in that light bulb.
That was like, that whole thing took a turn that I don't think anyone was expecting
God. Yeah.
And then Gail Haggard said that her husband wasn't really homosexual.
Oh.
So that also took another turn. So I think that those four people didn't quite do what the producers were.
Well,
two of them didn't.
But also, Marion Barry who was the
crack smoker? Yeah.
But the part where he invited the hooker up to the room to just just chill, that part he doesn't deny, right?
He didn't say she was a hooker, but he said that she had brought some powder cocaine. That's evidently. It's rare that you hear people making the distinction by calling it powder cocaine.
He still he got reelected, right?
He went back. Yeah, he was the mayor for a while longer.
Yeah, all right.
It worked for him.
We don't judge. It's fine.
Apparently not.
But don't you think? And this is maybe too lofty of a topic. But as our society keeps on going forward and everything is revealed, you cannot be this puritanical person that everybody wants you to be when you're running for office now. Like, there is dirt on every one of us at a certain level.
See, that's part of why I keep going back and forth about this, because I feel like Wiener's behavior, so many guys do that. It's not that unusual. Yeah. But I don't know why I'm kind of revolted by
him. I think this is what we're – I mean, this is a two-parter. One is – what they've done in their past. Like, we're now at the point where President Obama says, I smoked pot back in the day. And everyone just goes, yeah, all right, back in the day. Like, cool. So there's the back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we're all pretty past the back in the day part, whatever you did in college, whatever drugs.
Right.
Even if you had a first marriage and went bad and you got caught, your cock in the cocky jar, you're fine. Well, it's the impulse control and the what we don't like. Here's what we don't like. We don't like being yanked around. It's weird. Right. Like this whole thing of like, well, we're not comfortable with gay people. No, we're not comfortable with people we think are gay who won't tell us they're gay. And then once they tell us they're gay, we don't care anymore.
Right.
Like Lance Bass. Like, we're uncomfortable with Lance Bass because we're like, isn't that guy gay? I swear he's gay. It's fucking me up. And then at a certain point, he goes, I'm gay. And then we all go, oh, okay. And then we leave it alone. Like,
gone.
It never comes up again. No one brings up Lance Bass's name anymore. Like, we're done. Okay, good. We've checked that box. We're moving forward now. So what fucks with us is kind of being, we don't like getting yanked around.
Lied to.
Right.
And if a guy says, look, I fucked up, I'm sorry, and whatever, we'll move on from that. When he comes back for round two, that's what fucks us.
He should just have come out and said, hey, look, I have a problem with sexting and I'm going to continue to do it, but I'm going to be a good mayor and here's some.
Right.
just you have it as part of your plan. Like, and I will sext.
Right.
Just get it out there.
Yeah.
Strong on sexting.
By the way, I cut a PSA on sexting and driving that I'd like to share with not only you, but your children as well. I'm going to turn this fucking lemon into lemonade. It's like, hi, I'm Anthony Weiner. Okay. Not Wiener. Weiner.
Anthony, can you stick to the script, please? This is about sexting. It's not really about your name. We could just say your name. People know who you are.
Oh.
Here we go.
Okay. I just wanted the beats. Hi. I'm Anthony Weiner. And while you know my passion is sexting, I never, ever do it from behind the wheel. I'm always in the passenger seat while my wife drives. Oh, wait a minute. We should probably fix that. If you,
that's good. We'll fix it in post.
I got one on autoerotic asphyxiation, too, if you want me to hit that, too.
No, Marion Barry's coming in next. We'll
okay. You can do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Marion Barry about the, I don't do crack, only powder cocaine.
That's right. These are not streetwalkers. These are call girls. There is a difference, people.
Do you want to do that one?
The Streetwalkers versus Call Girls?
Or the Powder Cocaine
powder
versus...
Powder Cocaine versus crack.
I don't know that much. So,
you got to do a black voice.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I know. Now... Hi, I'm Mayor... I'm Mayor Marion Barry. I don't ever smoke crack in office. But when... I'm messing it up.
That's all right. That's what we have tape for, Mayor.
I'll do one more time.
I mean, former mayor.
I'm having such a hard time because I never even smoked this crack, so I don't even know what this is about. But anyway, I'll do this ad. Crack cocaine is terrible. And that's why when I do a drug of choice, it'll be cocaine powder. Cocaine powder. The easier, nicer crack.
Marion?
Yeah.
From the booth?
Yeah.
Can we say powdered cocaine? Cocaine powder sounds like something you'd sprinkle over cereal or put in a drink.
Oh, yeah. All right. But, mate, you want me to go by cocaine powder? All right. I just feel like I kind of wanted to make it. All right. Yeah, I'll do
powdered cocaine.
Powdered cocaine.
Yeah.
But that also sounds like powdered milk. So either way. All right.
Yeah, we got to go to lunch soon. So we could just.
Hold on 1 second. Okay, I'm ready to go now.
All right. We're done with the PSAs. What else we got?
One more thing. Mm. I just wonder why these. I can't think of one example of the wife of a disgraced politician leaving him close to when the scandal happens.
Mm.
Why do they stay?
I think. Well, first off, I think they. I think they think there's a chance at redemption for their husband. Like, I think part of it is a business decision.
Yeah.
Like Hillary Clinton, for sure, and a lot of people are in a position where their husband is a business. I mean, this is a gig, you know, and you got bills and things like that. So I think some of it is a kind of a business decision. The other part is a weird sort of pressure to act like you're devoted when you're really pissed.
I also think there's an element of, like, shock involved. Like, it's the same reason why everyone signs those releases on prank shows. They're like, oh, what's going on? Okay, yeah, and they sign it right away. Like, they're like, all of a sudden, like, this scandal's broke. They're on a stage. They're talking to people. Like, they don't have a time to, like, go, like, wait, what is he doing?
Right.
Like, their life is not in a normal space for that moment.
Right.
Although Maria Shriver got out quick with Schwarzenegger. She was like, he had that thing break, and then she was like, gone.
Yeah.
She was the only one who I think, but I mean, that's been after years of Schwarzenegger.
Right. They weren't already separated?
Oh. Didn't.
Maybe.
Well, maybe
if not,
she,
then there
I
you
thought
go.
She. I thought she pulled out, like, right when that thing got announced about the.
He should have pulled out.
She was like,
but maybe we can figure that out. Also, she may be privy to things that we're not privy to, I'm assuming, long before we're privy to them. So she may have found out about this. If she did pull out 8 months ago or 8 months before the scandal, she may have known 8 months before the scandal.
Radio personality David Kid Craddock died.
Oh.
A lot of people.
He was in Dallas or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Christy was broken up about. She used to live
yes.
in Dallas. She was like,
okay.
Oh, I love that guy.
A lot of people on Twitter have been really broken up over it. I was not familiar with him, but I feel like I'm in the minority here.
There's a lot of kids out there, but what happened to him?
He died at a charity golf event.
Ooh.
It was his charity, Kids Charity. The official cause of death has not come out, but people are saying that it was a brain aneurysm.
Wow.
Yeah, well, he was 53.
Well, I imagine there are a lot of kids at that golf charity, too. Well, that would be a really frightening thing to see as a child.
And yet, many quotes saying he died doing what he loved.
I will you know, as far as the obit goes, you know, on top of the hooker when you had the heart attack is not quite as good as doing a kid's charity and trying to raise money for kids. So God bless him. He's going to be missed by wait a minute. Where'd Christy live?
Christy lived for a year and a half or 2 years in Dallas. She worked out there. She worked out there, and she knew who this guy was. She, like, read it on Facebook. She's like, oh, my God, I love that guy. And he was a DJ out there.
Yeah, Kid Craddock in the morning. The show was heard on more than 75 Top 40 and Hot AC radio stations.
Maria Shriver's, by the way, lawyer, was hired before the scandal went public. So she was – but we don't know if she – you got to figure she knew something.
I mean, there was – I remember they did a whole, like, magazine one time devoted to – Schwarzenegger sex stories, like everyone who'd worked with him, and just like that he would just like, I mean, the one story I remember, I read it when I was a little kid, and it's burnt into my brain, is that some PA was trying to get him out of his trailer, and they opened the door, and he was going down on this girl, and he turned to them and he said, "Eating's not cheating," and that was the the story. And then, like, the next month, like, Linda Hamilton wrote this. That's another PSA.
Wow. You should do license plate frames.
And then Linda Hamilton the next month in, like, Premiere Magazine wrote, like, a huge article, like, he's my friend, and he's never, like, he's not like this. But the whole whole magazine was just like 12, 15 different people going, oh, yeah, yeah, no, yep, yep, yep.
What? You know, let me – I mean, I'm going to have to rethink my approach to this, but it's like there's a mayor in San Diego who's Filner. In a bunch of trouble for stuff. And it's a lot of like, well, we're having a meeting on property taxes, and then we had a follow-up meeting on parking and subterranean parking. But anyway – it was about 11 in the morning. He called me into the office before anyone else came in, and then he grabbed my boob. And I'm like, what's the batting average on you getting your dick sucked after that move? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And if it is high, please tell me. I just don't feel like there's a – I don't feel like there's a scenario where a chick could just come in, I could just start grabbing her ass, and she'd be like, oh, fuck, that feels so good.
What about
the thing? The way you grab my boob, especially in the morning, especially when you're 42 years older than me. Like, has that ever worked?
Well, that's what – it's so weird. Like, the Clarence Thomas thing. I mean, again, here's a Supreme Court judge. Like, didn't he say, like, oh, that's my pubic hair on your can of Coke? Like, is that going to turn anyone on? Like, that is not a turn on. Like, ooh, I want to see more of that pubic hair now. Like, what is that?
No. Well, like, understand the –
yeah, that's creepy.
Somebody's been working out. You really yeah. look great. And then there's we're doing a charity dinner tonight. And if you want to come by and have a drink, you know, that, like, that I understand. Yeah. The I'm just going to grab your titty real quick while we're standing in a hallway. What, is there ever part where she's like, oh, what about the other nipple? So lonely. So lonely. Misses your caress. Like,
it makes no sense.
It's dudes.
Are they delusional? Like, do they think the women are just dying to be groped by them?
Everybody, and it's a big problem, I think. You, whatever it is you look at in life, you cannot take the fact that other people don't see it through your prism. Mm-hmm. So if somebody says, hey, man, you ever been to that place Cut and had that Kobe beef? And you go, you've had that. And you're like, oh, my God, it's unbelievable. You can't fathom somebody going, not thanks, but no thanks. Like, not for me. Not for me. You do it with movies. We go, that was a fucking great movie, man. And the person goes, I didn't like it. And you go, what's wrong with it? So you're like, as a dude, I think your fantasy is just to be standing in some place of business and get yanked off by some chick, you know? Like, you wouldn't do anything about it
That's the fantasy.
So the notion of you then approach a woman like you would like to be approached. You know what I'm thinking about right now, don't you? Thank God my kids are here. It slows me down a little bit. No, but I'm saying it's like a lot of dudes take their sexuality and kind of graft it on to women. And I've always said women are like cats, guys are like dogs. When men approach women sexually, like, you know, a dog, what I do with my dog is I grab her two paws when she's standing there. My dog, Molly, she's laughing. I'll grab her two paws that are furthest away from me, pull them toward me, and flip her on her back. Like a turtle.
Right.
And just start, has sex with her.
Just fucking just pound the shit out of her. Yeah. Now, I'll just start playing bongos on her belly and rubbing her, you know, rubbing around. Like, and she loves it. But you can't do that shit with a cat.
Right.
Cat's gone. What do you do with the cat? The cat, you sort of put your hand down and the cat sniffs around a little. And then the cat sort of applies its own pressure. And then you sort of lean back a little toward the direction of. But what guys will do is they attack the woman like they think they're getting yanked off.
But again, my gut is that was not the first time he has done it, though, right? Or, like, the first time he's ever been like, what made that day then special? Like, I'm going to grab her boob. Like, what went on in that moment before?
I don't know what – again, I don't know what the batting average is. I don't know that there's ever been any success with the boob grab. Or just a general grope or the corner of
I think he, like, grabbed someone's head and tried to kiss her.
Yeah, or even like, I'm going to force your mouth down toward my groin or something. Like, batting average zero, unless – now, if you're Schwarzenegger, there's an angle.
Well, I heard a great thing, Bruce – I mean, again, this is from a friend of a friend. I heard this story of Bruce Willis's pickup line, which is amazing. He says to a woman, eating's not cheating. He goes, what are you doing for sex later? And that's his line.
Right.
And it's like, if that works, then you're in. If it doesn't – move on.
Right.
That's like, I mean, at least that, but I love anything that's that direct, which is,
Yeah, that's the putting the hard in the diehard guy. But that's the diehard guy. That's right. The guy again, who looks great in his wife beater, not the guy who abuses his wife. Yeah.
That clip brought to you by Geico. It's Geico-ween. Switch to Geico and see how much you could have been saving. It'll haunt you. All right. That was Monica Chugscock. Chugscock. Oh, I've been saying it wrong?
You've been saying it wrong all this time. It's so embarrassing.
Oh, no. But
well, you brought her over to dinner, your family, the whole time.
Thank you to Andrew for emailing that to us and requesting it. And if anybody else wants to request a clip, it's quite easy. You can just email us, classics@adamcarolla.com. We're also on Instagram, @GiovanniGiorgio or @ChrisLoxamano1. Check it out on Facebook. Just find a way to contact us. Just Google our names. There's a way to get a hold of us. Find it and let us know what clips you want to hear. Before we get started with the next clip, got to remind everybody about Madison Reed Mister. Because, guys, if you're looking at that screen during your conference calls and you're seeing a little gray hair, either in your hair or your friend's hair, you know, it's time to start thinking about what's on top of your head there. And let's color it with some Madison Reed Mister. It's a gray blending natural color for your hair and your beard. So it gets nice and it matches. And do you remember that shoe polish look? None of it here. That's right. Check out Madison Reed Mister. And also, if you go on the website, it makes it really easy to find your color match. So if you think you have a really particular hair color, Madison Reed Mister has you covered. They also do hair coloring for women, too. Lynette Carolla uses it. I know Gina Grad was sent them. She loves it, too. They deliver right to your door. The process is super easy. Just apply the color gel to your dry hair. Add the activator. Wait a few minutes. Rinse, shampoo. Boom. You look great. Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMR.com. And use the code ADAM10 for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's MadisonReedMister. Code ADAM10. All right, Gio. We got another request. What do we have?
This one is coming from Rob M. He says, it's Adam and a guest. He thinks it's maybe Joel McHale reenacting the undercover cops who worked the Heidi Fleiss case turning in expense reports. Now, we have a version of this where Adam goes crazy and needs more and more stuff. We've played many times. I don't think that's the one he's asking for. This is with Randy Sklar, Jason Sklar, the Sklar Bros, Gina Grand, Brian Bishop. This is from October of 2015, Adam Carolla Show 1680. And this is, I think, exactly what he wants. If not, we'll go back and find one with Joel McHale because it may also exist. But let us know if this is what you want, Rob. Until then, check it out.
Are you going to break the streak of Carolla fathers not showing up to football?
Well, my dad didn't go to games.
Practice. We're talking about flag football. Not a game where he puts himself out on the line. We're talking and he about kills himself every week.
For practice. People that are out, if you want to describe flag football, just remove the L. Yes, okay. I like to say all the time.
Flag football?
Thank you.
With one L.
That's what I'm saying. Just one L at the end. Football.
I love the one kid in flag football who just still tackles other people. I'm going after everybody.
Look. Yeah, he's going wedding crashers. Uh-huh. Bradley Cooper problems. On your ass. Yep, Castrol GTX Magnatec. You should use it. We use it. I love when you tweet me the pictures, and you can get it available at major retailers, quick lube centers. Castrol, GTX, Magnatec. All right, so can we do a little dueling?
The thing about Barkley and Shaq, Barkley, I love him so much. He's a national treasure.
He should be on Mount Rushmore. Not his face, just like his body doing a janky-ass golf swing where he's drunk and
he should be.
Right? He's an American treasure.
Here's why he's so great. Barkley's so great because he is the most contrarian person on the planet. Like, he will say things that even you know that Charles himself does not believe.
LeBron James is the 27th best player in the NBA. Ernie, that's not true, Charles.
He's not even
the best player on the Cavaliers, Ernie.
Stop.
His Iman Shumpert's haircut is 20 times better than Ernie.
Charles.
Tell Ernie to tell Kenny to tell Ernie to tell Shaq that's terrible.
All right, that's not true. All right, so that's Charles on one end of the table. At the other end of the table is Shaq, and Shaq is no longer doing basketball analysis.
I don't think he said one thing about basketball in the last 2 years.
years. No, he's just trying to slip in like stories about movies, TV shows, commercials that he's been in. It's like he's reading his own IMDb profile.
Do we need any music as a bed under this?
No. So it's, and that's the whole show. It's just Charles trying to say things to get a rise out of everyone at the table, and Shaq listing off his credits.
Erna, tell Kenna to tell Erna to tell Shaq to tell Kenna that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is a 6'1" white woman.
No, no. I was in Kazayum.
Erna, she's running the NAACP. I don't like it, Erna. It's terrible, Erna.
I was a genie. I turned down Space Jam.
Erna, tell Kenna to tell Shaq to tell Erna that James Harden is a Hasidic Jew, Erna. No, no. He's living on La Brea, Ernie. He's driving a Ford Aerostar.
I put an ice hot sleeve on a Buick.
Ernie. He's driving. He's got 16 kids. He's not eating milk and meat together, Ernie. He's keeping kosher, Ernie.
Ask Kobe how my hair stays.
Ernie.
How my hair stays. Ask Kobe. How my hair stays.
It
I
is
love that.
That goes
well,
on.
Something like that.
We can do that forever. By the way, once we get into those characters, there's a chance we don't get out.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if you ever read that Legs McNeil phenomenal book about the porn industry. Like,
totally The Other Hollywood, I think.
Maybe The Other Hollywood. Totally comprehensive, but they told the story about these guys who went down to bust like a porn ring or some ring, prostitution ring or something down in Florida, and they went as undercover like mafia guys, and they couldn't come back from the personas that they created.
Nice.
And so they like started. Sometimes when we go into Barkley and Shaq,
you just can't come back, man.
Deep cover.
Deep ball cover. Balls deep cover.
Balls deep cover.
On my air station.
The part where the cops are posing as business folk who then get in with Heidi Fleiss, fine, wasted the taxpayers' money because nobody gives a fuck if Charlie Sheen wants to buy an expensive blowjob or not. That's doesn't affect us or our family. But then the part where you do get to fuck the runaway as part of your cover.
That's
does anyone else see that there's
guys,
a problem?
I gotta do it all the way or else it's not done.
Prime assignment.
I gotta do it all the way.
So I gotta go down to the evidence room. I need a couple bundles of 20s. I'm also gonna need that Ferrari Testarossa and a fucking cigarette boat. Anyway, I'll be balls deep in these. This thing, by the way, I know we said we're gonna have this wrapped in about 3 months. This could go on for a while.
We need another expanded.
We need it's like the guy in the who's shooting the porn who's like fucking the girl, and then like everyone's like, okay, we got it, and he's like, I need one more for me.
One more for me. What do you mean one more for you?
I just need one. I thought I heard a helicopter or something going by. I need one more for me.
No, their helicopters go around here all the time, man.
I just need one more for me.
And the part in every movie where the chick says, are you a cop? And if he's a cop, he has to say he's a cop. I don't know about that part. He can get his dick sucked with impunity. He doesn't have to talk about that part.
He has to say, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I just didn't hear what you're saying.
I'm too busy coming.
Yeah, exactly. With your mouth full.
I didn't hear you.
Let me finish.
God.
And then I can talk to you.
How does that fucking go, like, down at Rampart when you're like, oh, you guys are with the crash unit, so you're going to go break up. Oh, so one of the Crips shot one of the Blood Sisters, so they're looking for revenge today?
Yeah.
Because I'm going up to the hills. Yeah. Remember when Rick James was raping those chicks?
That's right.
Heidi's got a new set of chicks over there. Hey,
can you? I don't know if anyone's been down the evidence room. Have you seen the crack pipe? I just need to pick that up, and then we're going to head on out there.
Just in case. Just in case.
I
want to be strapped. And then the mountain of cocaine, has that gone away?
I need that because I got to come across like a player. Right. And I'm also going to need a flask, a bong, and a strap on. Now you say, what do I need a strap on for?
That's my first question. Well, what would you need a strap on?
First off, none of your goddamn business.
Okay.
Secondly, I only got one cock.
Oh, okay.
And they're five chicks.
Thirdly, it's not for me.
It's not for me. And then also, what I found out from last weekend is if I do enough evidence blow, my cock doesn't work.
That's right.
So. I think they ironically call it whiskey dick, but this was from too much Bolivian shale.
Well, anyway,
so what happened? Was it a 12-year-old that was shot by another 12-year-old, or was it an 11-year-old that was shot by 22-year-old?
What happened was the 11-year-old shot the 12-year-old. The bullet passed through and hit another 12-year-old.
Unrest, payback?
Sounds like it's going to be a lot of paperwork. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, where are the rolling papers? Because I need to take those out to the... I gotta take all those.
So now, the Koreans, are they up on the roof of the liquor store shooting down at you, or it's just the guys that are looting?
Actually, no, it's both. They're actually up on top, and I'm being shot from
shooting
the guys
from
inside.
Down below and up top.
It's what you call crossfire. I'm being shot from both above and below.
Oh, speaking of crossfire, they have something called a six shooter. That's a bong that it will hold six balls.
Yeah. Six balls at once.
You know how you get tired of like, oh, I just ripped the bong load, now I gotta reload it? Mm-hmm. This one, you just slide it over one.
Oh, that would be really helpful in your line of work.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know, I gotta get into it. I gotta get into it. Or else they're not gonna going to believe it.
Where's my asphyxiation belt? Where's my belt?
Does anybody have that?
Where's my belt?
Yeah, I don't like to come unless the oxygen is being choked off to my brain.
I like to see a light before I
safety first.
And by the way, not for nothing, but do you like the suit with the vest and the pocket watch, or should I go vestless with a tie?
The only vest I wear is Kevlar, and I usually wear two or three of them.
No,
I can't walk into this.
Yeah, I can't walk in with that.
That's in your line of undercover work. Yeah, you need the Kevlar vest. That just get in the way.
Guys, we're shoulder to shoulder on this. I mean, we're all just cops here.
The only reason I go shoulder to shoulder is to get human shield for the people behind me so they don't get shot.
Totally understand.
Are you guys in the Crown Vic still, by the way?
Yeah, that's a standard issue undercover.
Testarossa, I mean, I get reimbursed, but that thing gets like 9 miles to the gallon.
If that's
when I'm driving. Now, when I got a couple of whores in the passenger seat up like cords of wood, I'm fucking down at like 5-6 miles.
5-6 miles a gallon. I'm constantly filling that thing up. So I guess I'm just asking if you would mind filling it up for me.
Yeah, well, it's waiting outside. Just run out before you go to the shooting.
And
just run
out
for
you to drive
and
have fun with it.
If I run to the gas station, it's practice for running away from the bullets and the gunfire.
That's right.
You know what you're doing.
Serpentine. Hey, I'm not going gay on you, but I need to do what I call get into a leather phase before I show up. I need to, you know, I'm not asking you to jack me off, but I'm saying if we could get the blood circulating.
You need a little stimulation to
fluff it.
Just a tiny fluff.
Well, I'm wearing Kevlar gloves.
Well, we don't
be a
know if you're fine. Coming back, is what I'm saying.
Well, I'm most likely not.
Well, okay, so if you're not going to come back, then a little fluff now, and you just sort of take it to the grave.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
No one would know, obviously.
You're not going to see your wife and kids again, right?
Dead men tell no tales.
No chance you're going to get drunk and tell them.
Very unlikely, right. No.
Secrets speaking of telling people, I don't know if he's going to be there this time, but any words of praise for Drew Carey?
Mm-hmm.
He's going
to
be.
He's at the party.
Yeah. Well, it's more of an orgy.
He was giving away women as the next item up for bid.
I thought that was funny. That was ironic.
You know what?
That's why he gets a big buck.
It was him having fun with you. You know who can't pull that off?
Who's that?
Wayne Brady.
Yeah, Wayne Brady can't pull that off. He's always there, too.
It must be funny when he has a woman displaying the woman who's up for bid.
It's funny. Yeah. But again, it's not really a party. It's kind of an orgy. It starts as a party and then just sort of an orgy breaks out.
Let's just call it an assignment. It's a giant undercover assignment.
Anyway, good luck.
Just a little fluff and then
a little fluff.
I'm gonna go play Plinko.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna need it.
The
odds are against me.
I may be gilding the lily here, but that fucking Testarossa is about 42 inches off the ground. Yeah, I gotta fucking bend myself like a. I'm 6'2. Yeah. I gotta bend myself like a fucking pretzel to get into that.
Gotta get down. File a workers' comp thing, you know, to.
I don't like to complain.
It's what he does for the job. It's what he's willing to do. It's why he became a cop. You know what we call that? Sacrifices for the people.
That's right.
And there it is right
there. So I'm thinking in another 9 months to 3.5 years, we should have this thing about half solved.
Yeah.
Okay. So doing the math, that's closer to 20 years.
Yeah, well, when are the next Olympics? Not the next closest one, but the next winter or summer one.
The ones that have not been assigned to a city yet? That's probably 2024.
Let me ask you this. When are the next Olympics that aren't in Russia? That's like maybe 30 years away.
Yeah, we're looking at that.
Yeah.
Well,
this thing cracked wide. Speaking of cracked wide open, I got to get going.
Yeah, me too. I got a lot of dodging bullets to get to.
Good luck with that, man.
Good luck with your assignment, though. It sounds like a rough gig.
Hey, you know what? We'll do the best we can with it. Right. It's good for what it is.
God bless.
Thank you.
Good for what it is.
Dancing. All right.
Once again, thanks to Rob for requesting that clip. I think that's the one he was looking for. He might have got the Joel McHale thing mixed up.
It could exist. There may be an early episode with Joel where they go over for a minute or two. We played a different version where Adam goes over it and how he needs increasing levels of insane amount of things. But we'll find it if there is another one. But I think that was it as well.
Yeah, and thank you for requesting that. Quite hilarious. Now, before we get started with our next clip, also listener request, Gio and I would love to tell you guys about Tommy John, all right? It's the most...
Oh, yeah.
Comfortable, ultra breathable, cool. It's like having your own on-body AC. I'm talking about underwear, lazy day joggers, shirts, and for the girls, they got bras, they got everything. Gio, what's your
everyday lounge pants?
Yeah, what's your experience been like with Tommy John?
I'm a complete convert, like the advertisements say. It's reality. There are, you know, other underwear companies you can go with in stores or online. I won't even think of them. I only use Tommy John. The Second Skin is amazing. It's probably my favorite. The Cool Cotton is great for summers. It's also just as good as the fabric. I interchange them every day. The Everyday Lounge Pants I wear every day now when I'm working around the house. It's just much simpler than putting on a pair of track pants. And they are so comfortable. They're not tights. They're not yoga pants. They're not sweatpants. They're not track pants. They're something altogether different, and you need to try them.
Yeah, altogether different and better. I love wearing them. I look forward to putting them on. I take them out of the drawer. I'm like, oh, this is going to be nice. So, guys, if you want that experience, check out TommyJohn.com/classics. And for a limited time, if you go to that website, TommyJohn.com/classics, you'll get 20% off your first order. Once again, that's TommyJohn.com/classics for 20% off.
Do it.
All right. Let's get going with another clip. This one is a request from listener Nick. What do we got?
He says he's a big fan of the Corolla podcast. He loves classic show. He's 36, lives in San Diego, got in the Corolla podcast shortly after starting 09. There was a time he leads back in 2012 when the Schmoes Knows guys came on, and they're talking about the summer movie season. In this clip, Adam went off on a tangent about evil villains in movies and how they could be a little more villainous. And he thinks this is for sure the episode. This is Adam Carolla Show 837, Schmoes Know, Allison Rosen, Brian Bishop, June of 2012. This is the summer movies recap. This also has the infamous Alf reveal, one of the skills of one of the Schmoes. I think this is what he wants, and if this doesn't exactly have the line he's looking for, we will find the actual Schmoes clip and play it, but this might be it. Check it out, Nick.
Yeah. Oh, am I on? Test 1, 2. There we go. Thank you. Christian Harloff, Mark Ellis here. Schmoes Know, the website, youtube.com/schmoesknow. And the know is the K-N-O-W variety. You can Twitter them at Schmoes Know. Lots of new movies to talk about, summer movies to talk about. Some you've seen, some you know
the
about.
Ones that we're going to talk about, no, we haven't seen them yet. We're going to see Prometheus on Tuesday. But a lot of these, you know, it's the summer season's kind of kicked off in May, and now we got June, July, and August, and we got some pretty good ones coming up.
We got May covered. May is in the bag.
That's right.
What Prometheus, is that the pre- One, two,
yes, the prequel
Alien.
To Alien. Yeah. Ridley Scott Returns.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's a prequel, but it takes place, like, what, 20 years before the first 30. Alien?
It's 30 years, and all the technology looks better. It's like the George Lucas thing.
Yeah, special effects have gotten a lot better since 1979. Now, but you got to make it look older.
Is it? Now, I do believe the first Alien was a great example of delayed gratification. Like, sex is better if you do some foreplay.
It was tantric, the whole movie.
Right. Yeah. I don't engage in it myself.
Have you ever attempted the tantric way of lovemaking?
There have been times when it's been put off longer than I would have liked, like past the salad.
Yeah.
And it's always better, but you just don't want it that way. Like right. you. So what we've done is we've given in to our primal urges when it comes to movies, and we start with a chase scene. But the first Alien was so good because they just teased you, and they made you wait and wait and wait. And by the time it came, pardon the pun, you were just so fucking ready.
Right. You climaxed.
Yes.
Literally.
Then
you saw it.
Then when they came out with Aliens and subsequent more, it was like, now it started, they hit the ground running, there was hundreds of them, right. And it just became overwhelming.
Well, the thing with Alien also is that fact, it's like you're saying, it's a fairly simple movie, but when you get teased and you finally do see the alien, it's not like some shitty-ass puppet. It looks like a creepy
right.
alien. So, you again, that's 1979, and you're able to do that.
Right.
It was believable, and it is more of a horror film, and I think James Cameron for Aliens made it more of an action film, which I loved. I loved Aliens, but
well, yeah, that's what it was. The first Alien was like, it was like a nice romantic, that was like The Notebook, right? And then right. Aliens is just a porno. It's just right. a triple X, just everybody shooting at everybody
Bukkake.
Else.
But the story all comes together too, and I think that I actually think, because I watched
Alien
recently,
3 was Bukkake.
Oh, that's horrendous. Yeah. But Aliens, it sets up the story as to where in Prometheus, where we have you know, the whole Whelan thing and the corporation and the story. If you didn't have James Cameron bringing that, I don't think you would know as much what's going on, because they tease it a lot in Prometheus.
Well, you have to care. And right. that's the part they screw you up on, which is you got to get to know the characters. Because if you don't know them, then you don't really care if they're devoured by the alien or not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you spend an hour setting them up and really getting to know them, then when the person is running from the alien, you're screaming, run.
Yeah. Right.
Versus who gives a shit.
But that was the problem with Alien 3, is that at the beginning of Alien 3, it actually sets up to where you make sure that all the cool guys that you liked, like Hicks, you know, Bill Paxton from right. Aliens, right. are mm-hmm. dead. That's the first thing you see in Alien yeah. 3. So it's just bald Sigourney Weaver running around, well, and no, you just don't care that
no,
much.
They killed off the one guy you do care, Sodom Noomsi from Golden Child.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, he's in it. He's in it for like the first.
Oh, you're Charles Dance?
Sure is.
He was the bad
he's like,
guy.
He's like, no, he's like.
In Last Action Hero, right. he was the bad guy.
He sure is, but he's the love interest for this. And you're like, okay, good. Sodom Noomsi's going to get some Ripley tail. And then they kill him. And you're like, no. And then Rock, what's his name? Charles Dutton.
Yeah,
Charles
Dutton. Is running around, and it's just horrendous.
Alien 3 is basically the action scene in that is they're just closing garage doors in a prison on aliens. Yeah. That's all it
David
is.
David Fincher, though.
They, well, it's why. I always say, look, this is the reason why Mexicans can't make dessert, because they go,
they fry it.
Well, there's that. Basically, they go like, look, what is the difference between a dinner roll and a pastry? And somebody said sugar. And then someone said, then, you know, it'll be the best dessert ever. Big blocks of sugar. And it's like, it makes sense, but it doesn't work. You need some salt and some yeast and some shit in there that goes against dessert convention. Like, you mm-hmm. think, well, why would this make? If you tasted yeast, you'd be like, what the fuck is this doing in my dessert? Right. Like, trust me. Or if you tasted salt, you'd go, why is this in my dessert? You go, trust me. And that's what they do. They throw in too much sugar, and you just start swimming in it, and you don't give a shit.
That's right. What Transformers 3 was. It was just a bunch of sugar for the last 45 minutes.
Awesome.
I wanted some yeast, Brian.
Where's the yeast? Speaking
this is not
of
the
Brian,
first time today I've been asked about that.
And controversy, what about Drive? How did you guys feel about Drive?
I wasn't a huge fan of Drive. I know.
The Ryan Gosling movie?
Yeah.
Maybe the best 5 minutes I spent at the movie theater last year was the first 5 minutes of that movie. I love that opening scene when he's first mission. And then the movie just kind of gets a little full of itself.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think so too. And the thing is with that movie, I just think that the director does a really good job and does a lot of nice visuals to it too. But they tease you that it's going to be this action film, and then it's like an art house film, which is fine, but don't tease me and make me think I'm getting
then no one talks for the next half hour.
Yeah, and everyone was saying, oh, Gosling should be nominated for this. He's a great actor and probably one of the best out there right now. The guy stares at walls for an hour and a half.
Yeah, see that, Brian? Everyone loved it.
I never felt more vindicated.
He loved it. He's the only one I know who likes Drive.
Yeah.
That and the horrible critics. He calls it a great film.
But he's not alone, actually. I know a lot of people we did that U Reviewers Award this year, and actually the fucking thing won.
No, look, Here's the thing. There's a lot of art that with distance it actually gets better, and then there's a lot of art that with distance gets worse. There's a lot of movies that didn't do that great and didn't even get that much proclaim when they came out critically, but 5 years later people step back and go, wow, that really was a great film. I feel like Drive's stock drops every 4 weeks. Like, it just keeps dropping. It got out of the gate with holy shit, right. And then it's been...
People aren't going to a museum like in 50 years to see Drive again.
Yeah, I think the opposite of that is Warrior, because Warrior had no buzz, and everybody that watches Warrior now loves that movie.
Yeah, that's a MMA movie.
Yeah, and that's with Tom Hardy, Nick Nolte, and Joel Edgerton.
Nick Nolte. Anyway, Spider-Man. What's that going to be like?
This Spider-Man, it's a reboot of Spider-Man, so it's a new guy. And so it's not Tobey Maguire anymore, and it's coming out July 4th, and it's weird because nobody's talking about it, because you had the Avengers in May, you have the Dark Knight Rises coming out later in July, so Spider-Man is kind of flying under the radar a little bit.
And I'm curious, as far as Brian, what you thought about that too. There's two sides of that as well. Some people think that it should not be rebooted, it's too soon, because the 2007 was the last one, but I'm all for it, because I think they're taking the more kind of Nolan approach to it. And
you know
it
when
serious?
Like you see like a pretty woman or a woman who's supposed to be pretty, and you just don't get too messing or whatever, and you're like... Don't lie. It just doesn't do it for me.
No boner for Spider-Man.
I could not care less about Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
The character at all?
No,
or the
reboot.
Movie?
I love the second one is one of the all-time best comic movies in my opinion. So I like the original 5 years ago trilogy, but just can't get it up for Spider-Man.
Wow, that's your Nicole Kidman, huh? Because Nicole Kidman, everybody says Nicole Kidman's the most beautiful thing in the world, and it just doesn't work.
I love her. She smells great.
It's a chick thing.
She smells great?
Yeah. She
did you smell her?
Once.
That's kind of creepy.
What do you want me to do?
She
has a lot of perfume.
Smell like plastic.
No, well, this was like seven years ago.
Sweet plastic.
This is 7 years ago, so the plastic was kind of thin.
I feel like Nicole Kidman smells like a really nice, like a Morton Steakhouse bathroom.
No, she's a little
too perfumed.
Yes, a little too sanitized.
You'd be surprised. I'm telling you, man.
Like a bathroom that has a flat screen over the urinal. Like a nice bathroom. Like a really nice bathroom. Like, I need to watch more TV. Yeah.
Like heavy shuttered wood doors.
Yeah, there's no piss in that urinal, though.
Mm. How about The Dark Knight?
Dark Knight, I'm really looking forward to. I think that's the difference. Did you guys see The Avengers?
No, I keep wanting to bring my kid, and everyone tells me what a great movie The Avengers is, and I go, good, I'll go with my kid, and he's like lukewarm on it. Like,
how old's your kid?
He's six, and he's into all the superheroes and everything.
He'll
he's
love it.
In Iron Man, and I keep wanting to, like, you know, get his pussy a little moist, and it's a fucking.
Well, maybe you should swing by the doctor on the way to the event.
It's a litter box.
It's eye candy for a little over two hours. Your kid will love it.
That's what I keep yelling at him while I'm hitting him with a slipper.
That's true.
You're going to know a lot more about your kid walking out of the event. Okay, first of all, he should have grown a penis by the time that movie's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then if he doesn't like it, he may be a communist.
Really? It's that good. That's what everyone says. Mm-hmm.
It's great. But the reason I bring that up is because that movie, it's just pure action. There's some, you know, some character stuff here and there, but The Dark Knight has to succeed in story and character where the Avengers didn't. You know, just you throw up with these characters, you have them kick each other's asses and everybody else's asses, and you're fine.
Right.
But in Dark Knight, if this trilogy doesn't, you know, come together and tie together nicely, it's just going to be like, who cares?
And is it Christian Bale back?
Yeah, Bale's back. Tom Hardy, the guy from Warrior, and Anne Hathaway as Catwoman, which is the sketchy casting, I think. But then you have a bunch of other people too. Marion Cotillard,
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. You worry about them cramming too much into it, because that was the problem that the first Batman series or in the '90s suffered from. Right. Is that Batman Forever? They had three villains, and then Batman and Robin. There was like 900 of them.
But the difference is you have Nolan versus Joel Schumacher.
Total Recall coming back.
Yeah.
Now, when they do Total Recall, do they do, like, are they going to do a, you know, there's some bands that cover a song or remake a song and make it their own, and then there are other ones that make it sound almost exactly the same as it was. Like, there's certain songs, like, if you, what was I always talking about? Like, Gloria Estefan and the Miami. Turn the Beat Around. Her version sounds exactly the same as the chick who sung it in 1977. Like, there's no reason to remake that one.
Yeah.
But Cat Stevens redoing Sam Cooke's Another Saturday Night, that's a total different thing. Are they going to do the same movie, or are they doing a different one?
They're basing it off the short story, I think, by Philip K. Dick. Is that who wrote it? Thank you.
Turn the Beat Around, the original.
They're doing it's more based on – it's not take place in Mars – they're not doing the three-titted woman, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's going to be a little midget with.
Who's going to be the Sharon Stone?
Len Weissman's wife, Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah, this looks cool to me because, again, it's 2012 now, so the special effects are going to be great. This could be, if the original one was You Really Got Me by the Kinks, this could be You Really Got Me, the Van Halen version.
I like that.
Is Kate Beckinsale and Nicole Kidman, or is she?
She's pretty damn good looking.
You would know.
Yeah.
We're into her.
Yeah. I punked her one time, and she was pretty. Pretty hot. Yeah,
She's very attractive.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No, Nicole Kidman is chicks think she's beautiful. Chick.
Yeah.
See, every girl makes that face now,
because she's got plastic face now.
See, the tide has turned.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever thought she was pretty though.
Even like eight, nine years ago?
Let me tell you, there are women that women want us to be attracted to.
Yeah, because it'd be so great as a society if we could like pale skin and curly red hair.
And a nice B cup.
Hey, check out this walking recessive gene that's on the movie screen.
Right.
Isn't she attractive? Because then it's going to make me look phenomenal. Yeah. It's, hey, that fat friend I bring to the bar, she's cute, right?
Yeah.
Fucking recessive.
I'm not saying guys don't do that, but we're just a little more underhanded about it.
Right.
Hey, isn't John Goodman attractive?
Oh. This is the original.
See, you don't remake this, though. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan in the world of this song. Maybe I am. This is a great song.
But here's the thing. She remade this song, and it sounds exactly the same, and that's bullshit.
Right.
the sincerest form of flattery.
Because she made sincerest way to fucking make money.
Yeah.
Right. It's like when they remade Psycho. They did it the same. Did it with Vince Vaughn, they did Psycho, and it was the same shot for shot when Gus Van Sant did it. And it was like, no, that doesn't work. You don't need to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
there's copying the original, which
just
is
play
bad.
The original. Thank you.
And then there's souping it up and making it your own, but still paying homage to the original. That's like the Beatles' Twist and Shout covering the Isley Brothers.
Sure.
And then there's adding hip hop to a song, which I also, that's the other part of the bell curve, which I despise too.
I despise it as well. I just feel like you've ripped off somebody's song. It's the antithesis of art, which is you ripping off the best part of Kashmir and putting it in your shitty song.
Yeah.
And then all the fucking defenders. I don't get all the defenders.
You mean like you're talking about sampling and stuff?
Yeah, the sampling. Oh, I like that song. And I always go, it's Kashmir. You like the Kashmir riff in the middle of that song.
Like Vanilla Ice when he did Queen's...
Yeah, everyone's like, I like that song. And it's like, I know, because you liked him and David Bowie from 1978.
That doesn't introduce kids. They always use the argument, it introduces kids, a new generation, to Queen and David Bowie. I had no idea that they had a song called Under Pressure.
Until 10 years ago.
So you knew it?
Yeah. No, 10 years ago?
Yeah, I didn't know.
Wow.
No, you know why? Because I always heard the ding, 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 and then I immediately would turn it off, because I don't want to hear Vanilla Ice. Why are they playing this on the classic rock station?
So that was a whole generation.
I was confused.
All right, one movie for us to really, or not us, but that you guys are most excited for.
Oh, I thought the five of us were going to a movie.
Yeah. We're all going to a movie.
What would it be if we went? No. Care Bears reboot?
I think this is we take to see Moonrise Kingdom, because I still haven't seen that yet. Have you seen it? Did you like it?
No, that's garbage. I will not see that.
Why?
No interest.
You don't like Wes Anderson at all? Do you hate him?
Quirky.
Too quirky.
Adam came up with a term 2 days ago, which was quirky comedies that have nothing going on.
I can't figure you out, man. You look like the guy that would love that movie, but you love Transformers 3?
Yeah, I do.
Crazy.
Mm. Well, the quirkity is the, hey, look at me and how precious my movie is, which bothers me.
Yeah. I've never seen one Wes Anderson film, so I can't.
Rushmore is good,
I
love
Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, those are the two I really enjoy.
I got to take the crash course before I see this movie.
But the big budget ones for me, I mean, I would see The Dark Knight Rises, or I'm actually looking at the new trailer for Born Legacy just came out, and with Jeremy Renner is a guy that it was rumored at first they were going to put Shia LaBeouf in it for a while.
And this is like a cat,
and
an animated cat character.
LaBeouf was supposed to be in it, thank God they didn't cast him. They put Renner, and now he's coming off the Avengers fame and everything else. So I think that's going to be something pretty exciting.
Well, the great thing about the Born series, and I just want to, Hollywood, are you listening? All of the CGI stuff has left this broadcaster cold. I can't take, I sometimes see the commercials and go, is this animated or is this live action? There's so much fucking CGI on the screen. And what Bourne did is they went, look, we're going to take a car and we're going to drive it off a bridge and it's going into the lake and he's going to have to get out of that.
It's a real car. We're going to have to pay for this Audi to go off
the fucking, off a trestle bridge. And when he fights a guy, he's going to fight a guy. And when he's climbing along the ledge of a building, he's going to be on a building. And the car, car chases are going to be car chases, and the fights are going to be fights. And we'll use stuntmen and coordinators, and we'll make it look awesome, but it will be what it is.
Meat and potatoes.
Not just so much fucking stuff that was done in post flying at you. And also, a lot of movies like, does the guy have superpowers or doesn't he? Because in one moment, he just got cut by a sword and he's bleeding. Now he's jumping up in slow motion and kicking everyone like a lawn genie sprinkler. Just three times around. He's 8 feet off the ground. Like, well, can he do that? Or does he have a hero? You know, just because he decided to go in slow motion, can he defy gravity now?
I think only Adam Carolla sees Hard Target. He sees Van Damme do the spin kick, and he's like, I need a new sprinkler.
Should I go with ABS or PVC or maybe just galvanized? I'll surprise myself tomorrow.
But I see your point, though, because and the gay gentleman who had no idea what Tango and Cash was, you feel bad for a guy like that, because when you see a sweet 80s action movie and you see a bunch of shitty cars driving around, you know you're about to see a car chase because they only wrecked really crappy cars back then.
That's my favorite. I every time, it was the funniest thing in the world, but I learned that early and often watching the acclaimed series Chips. And I would see them pull up into a four-way stop sign, and it'd be like, there's a 74 Matador, and there's a fucking VW Bug that looks like they pulled it out of a lake, and there's a car that I think just coasted up to that. I don't think it's running, and I'd go, why are those four? And then a second later, dump truck would run over all of them, and I'd go, oh, that's why there were four piles of shit parked there, because they all just got totaled, and here comes Punch and John.
You gotta look for the ones with the dents in them, because they didn't get it on the first take. Like,
you know what bothers me? And not only... Not only chase scenes, but underpants, pre-existing skid marks. I don't like it. If you'll see, you can use it. Okay. Use your TiVo wisely. You can see the skid mark where they did the e-brake 180, but this is take four.
Right.
Because they didn't quite land it the first three. And you'll see pre-existing skid marks as he's driving up to it that are the 180 e-brake skid marks. And you go, what are the chances someone else did that same move in that same spot?
Oh, it's a high car chase area.
It left this reviewer cold again.
Which is not the same, but hair inconsistency. I always notice it. Women's hair moves between scenes, and no one else, they don't seem to take the proper precautions.
It's usually it's an intense moment, and she's yelling at a guy, and like one strand of her hair is attached to the lipstick.
Yeah.
And then when she's done yelling at him, boom, somebody. Yeah. You know what really upsets me now that we're all off on this tangent?
Yeah.
It's when somebody's drinking like a beer, and they have, they have a couple sips of beer, and then the next thing you know, the beer's down here because someone in
continuity.
In continuity. Yeah. They usually hire a continuity guy.
Well, let me jump on mine.
To hair and beer.
I hate shitty extras. I hate extras who overdo it. Like they get
we were just talking about that.
Oh, it drives me crazy. We just watched it with a pilot that's coming out that the J.J. Abrams won the Revolution, and there's some horrendous extras.
Well, we just had this conversation on the show, which is it happens not only in movies, it happens in sitcoms, it happens in commercials. I've seen it. You'll always see it with like a waiter, and like Ben Stiller does something stupid, and the waiter's like, "Oh boy," like big face, and shaking
me.
Their head.
They're gonna notice me.
And it's what happens when you get no lines. You go, "What's my only chance?" And there's this thing where they go, "God damn it! Come hell or high water, I am acting. I will fucking act, and you will see every ounce of my acting face." And they do it, and because the focus is on Ben Stiller's performance or whoever the star is, they're not looking at the guy who's over his shoulder acting the fuck out of the scene. Yes, that would drive me nuts. But I can tell you, most of those extras are shitty actors. Mm-hmm. The hardest thing to do acting-wise is to be natural or to sort of like when I was doing the Man Show once, we had a guy, and he was supposed to do is like be a bum, and I was supposed to pop up like out of thin air, like out of Bewitched kind of a thing, and he was supposed to look at his bottle of booze, dump it out, and shake his head like they did it like in the 70s sitcoms, like, I don't know about this. Every time Samantha would pop up downtown in an alley, there'd be some bum doing the, I got to give up the old night train, like, oh, boy. This guy could not do it. Like, first, he would dump it out, it would completely dumped out, and then he would shake his head really hard, or he would shake his head first, and then he would dump it out, and he just like, and you realize some of the hardest stuff to do is the nuanced stuff. Like, if you told a guy, you got to run out of here screaming fire as loud as you can, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just say, just give a look like, huh? Or, I don't know about that. Like, look like, geez, who is this guy? But don't do a big over the top.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah, they start doing Jim Carrey. Yeah. The nuanced stuff is the hardest stuff for these guys to do.
And they had this temptation too. Whenever there's like a crowded subway and the camera pans around a crowd, there's always that one idiot that just can't resist looking right at the camera. He's got to stare right at the camera.
They call it flashing the camera.
Yeah, flashing the camera.
I'm a bit of a hypocrite because I was in Point of Origin. If anyone even knows what the hell this thing is, as an extra, I ordered
work
Ray Liotta. Yeah, I ordered
That's why we're on the podcast.
I ordered a rum and coke, and I was like 20, and I definitely overdid it. And the director yelled at me
for like, I'll have a rum and coke,
like screaming like Pacino in the middle. I guess I'm bringing it up because that's my own insecurity.
So all you listening out there, going to Central Casting, hoping to get some under five work in, don't stare at the camera, and for God's sakes, nuance.
Yes,
nuance,
smaller.
Great ass!
All right. Shall we do Schmoes? You want to hang out? We'll do a little news with you all?
Yeah, let's do it.
The news with Allison Rosen.
She reads some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with Zip It Cunt. It's Allison.
Allison.
I should tell you that today's show is sponsored by Encore Insurance Services, LLC. For free life insurance quote, call. Most people tell you to call next week. I say call today. 866-347-5748, or you can visit their website at smartterm.com. Thinking about getting some life insurance, or maybe just want to upgrade. How about you save some money? You're paying too much. Call Encore. Let them help you save. They compare premiums of highly rated insurers that they represent, and they help you save money. That's how it works. Let them go to work for you. 866-347-5748. Licensing and disclaimer information can be found on their website at smartterm.com. Smartterm.com. All right, Allison, what do we got?
Well, the first story is out of Florida, but get this. It doesn't involve someone eating someone's face or anything, someone without eyebrows on meth or anything super fucked up.
What? Mm.
It actually, it's an unfucking up of a situation, in my opinion. Florida had, or Brevard County, had banned 50 Shades of Grey. That's this mommy porn book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're making a movie. Yeah,
yeah. They unbanned it.
Shocking.
Why did they banned it in the first place? Because it was too risky?
Too dirty, yeah. But then the Library Services Department came out and said they're against censorship and they're going to reinstate it.
Is there one dude that's read this book? It's all chicks, right?
I'm single as they come.
I'm sure there's...
Sorry. I haven't read it yet. I'm the guy that likes romantic comedies. I haven't touched this book. Now, you have a wife. Has she read it?
It's not a rom-com, though.
But I was just saying, I'm sure there was somebody on that last segment, the gay segment, that had read it, but I don't think any straight men have read that.
Now,
heard of Tango and Cash.
I downloaded it to my iPad because I thought I could go for a dirty novel.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally fell asleep as I was reading the beginning of it, and I was like, where are the hot scenes? I can't find them. Mm-hmm. It's like what I imagine a porn with way too much plot would be.
Mm.
There's a lot of actual reading and words that has to happen before you get to anything.
Reading about hot scenes...
And it's poorly written, too.
Is reading about hot scenes would be like reading about highlights of a UFC fight.
Yeah.
To me, it's like, I got to see some footage.
Right.
I could feel a throbbing in my loins from just words, but
Women definitely have that. They have the imagination, and they're not nearly as visual as dudes, and they can read a book.
He's got deep russet auburn hair.
No, I am getting hard now.
Yeah.
Deep russet.
No, and they...
He's got potato
his
hair.
His long finger.
They had...
He's got tater
fingers.
Hair.
Yeah.
Voiced by Cliff.
He had a Yukon gold for a penis. So women can read that and become stimulated. But for guys, as long as the computer's up and running...
You need Google Images.
We're going.
Yeah. Well, and that's why if you need a quick whatever before you go to bed, you don't want to be reading a book. Then you have to skim, thumb through pages. For guys, you just fast forward the porn until you see a boob.
A quick whatever
and then
before bed. Mm-hmm.
It's usually not fool's gold. When you see a tit in a porn, you're usually getting somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, question. Mm. You just see a tit.
Yeah.
On screen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What happens? Do you have to, like, is it just automatic or do you have to talk yourself into being excited by this?
Yeah, you got to think about it. I mean, because it's.
Really?
You got just to see it. Oh, tit flops out. I mean, we just saw Piranha 3DD. It did nothing. Like, when it's. You see tits everywhere.
but you had a problem with those tits.
David Koechner was in here the other week and who's in Piranha 3DD and said, he's got kids and a mortgage. That was his answer when I asked him how he liked the movie.
We figured as much. It was like, you know, mob hit or something. Some kind of deal. But like but to answer your question, like, see all his tits? No. But if it was someone like Jessica Alba showing her tits, then I'm getting a little more excited.
Famous tits. Famous boobs are pretty sweet.
Did you say CeeLo's tits?
No, Jessica.
Yeah. If I saw CeeLo's tits, I might get a hard on.
By the way, CeeLo, it probably does have tits, right?
Absolutely. You just came up with America's favorite new game show
because
all you see is the tits. You have to guess if it's a really fat dude or if it's a really attractive chick.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you think fat dudes, man tits? Are going to be the same as an attractive woman's, unless she has
any
weird
port
side
in a
boobs.
Storm.
I'm pitching this to network.
I think Precious has the same type of tits.
I think I think ABC or an NBC or somebody like that could clean it up enough. You know, make it look good.
They could class it up.
Yeah.
Well, you know what you do when you pitch it?
Huh?
You go. you guys heard about this show that's all the fucking rage in London?
Oh, yeah.
And they go, what?
Oh, you're
what
right.
is it?
Yes.
You go, you know what? Maybe this is a little too hot for you. I'm going to take it across the street to CBS. And they go, no. Oh, it's huge. They're fucking buzzing about it in Britain. It's called Dude, Are Those Your Tits? And really? Are you sure it's from Britain? Absolutely. All right, so guys with accents thought it was a good idea? 100%. All right, let's do it.
Oh, yeah. Simon right. Cowell's production company fought hard for
fought hard
it.
Hard
lost
for it.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Then you're in.
But here's the thing. Since we're American, whoever loses, they get slimed right afterwards.
Well, it's lactated on, but yeah.
It's lactated.
Close your tits.
You're going to get milked.
Yeah, that's right. All right, where were we?
Here's a movie story. Elf creator, Elf, the wonderful sitcom, Paul
Alien
Fusco, thinks that the timing is right for an Elf movie.
Hell yeah, it is.
He's thought that for 31 years, though.
No, it's really right.
Uh-huh.
That's a big, important thing, timing. There have been movies out there of characters that I didn't think were on the same parallel as Elf that got movies made, so I think it's time. I think it could be a home run on a lot of levels.
Yeah, but this is going to go back to your problem before, Adam. It's going to be CGI. It's not going to be the puppet.
Yeah. Just like the people who, from the producers of Super Mario Brothers, the movie, comes. Yeah, the timing's not right because, well, it's about as right as it was for Land of the Lost. Right. Like, huh?
Well, and here's the best part that I learned from this article. This is what he says. When I used to write an episode and couldn't come up with a line for Alf, I needed something really funny, I would actually ask Alf.
Oh.
I would actually put the character on, and the character would just tell me what the line was.
Oh, my
hey,
God.
Hey, Willie! See, here's
what
what's hilarious.
Like, yeah.
Oh, I do a great Alf.
Oh, you do an awesome Alf.
Oh, Gordon Chumway's his real name from Melmac originally.
Right.
Here's why it'd be great to have an Alf movie now, because they would CGI him. And so this puppeteer guy, he's on his last legs. He needs a paycheck. Right. That's why he wants the movie. Yeah. They'll CGI, so they're like, hey, we'll take your idea. We are making an Alf movie. You can work at Craft Services, because we don't need a puppeteer anymore.
Yeah, 50 Shades of Alf.
I need a cat.
All right, Mark, you want to be Alf, and I'll be the creator with writer's block.
Sure.
Alf, I need your help on this one.
What's happening, buddy?
Well, we got the scene where you're in the kitchen.
I love it already.
I know, but hold on.
Okay.
You're always behind that counter. Anyway, you're in the kitchen, and the boss is coming over for dinner.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Right, I know. He's coming in. And this is a big deal because I can't remember, even though I created this sitcom, the dad of
Willie?
The house. Willie?
His name's Willie!
Yeah, Willie. Willie won't get the big raise. And the problem is that the lasagna is burnt and the boss is on his way.
The lasagna is burnt? I think I did that.
Yeah, you did. You did. But I need you to stall the guy now. That's my dilemma, and I'm trying to think of a funny way for you to stall him.
I got it. I'll say, hey, that's a nice pussy you got there, and he's holding a cat.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Alf. By the way, I need to fuck your mouth later. Hope you're cool. Don't answer.
Oh, that's great.
It works. The creative process right in front of our very eyes and ears.
How many times did that dirty puppet get fucked?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's hairdo. It's like Something About Mary.
Oh, my God. Excuse me. Look, we're having a problem with makeup. Can you not climax on the puppet? Can you get a sock?
Yeah, remember when Alf used to swallow during season one? I know, but he doesn't do that anymore. I know, but if he could just get back to swallowing.
Yeah. I'm almost there, Willie! I'm almost there, Willie!
Alf from Cumsock.
All right. Man. Fun. See, that now they need to make this movie.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to do much better than that, are we, Allison?
No. Well, no. That's the news. Okay, just a tiny bit. Because
Alf from Cumsock, you're going to do better than that?
It's intergalactic. It's 80s puppetry.
Try.
It's tough to beat.
Try.
Mr. Oreo, the creator of the Oreo filling, died.
Ooh, good. I hate Oreos.
Man. That's why I bring it up.
Okay.
Dude, that's the scene in the movie where everybody's partying, we're having a good time. Hey, things are going to work out right. And then we find out the star quarterback got killed in a car crash.
Mark, you say in Alf's voice, that's not filling.
Oh, that's not filling!
And, Adam,
you wanted me to eulogize the guy.
Urine, my point, and it sounded like I said urine, the guy, the principal scientist at Nabisco, responsible for all the Oreo-ness, according to his son, hardly ever ate Oreos.
Right, because he was smart.
That's right, because they're not that good. We don't think Oreos are that good. We think they're overrated. Like
You're not Hydrox people, are you?
No.
Okay.
And it should be low or medium Drox. There's no, or maybe you just have to be that high to enjoy the Hydrox. I do love.
Is that where the filling has beef in it?
Yeah.
Well, no, that was the rumor in school, is that it was always cow ejaculate, which is what they make the cream out of.
Yeah. Still wouldn't stop me from having my second bite. I'd be like, tell me more about this cow ejaculate theory. Give me another one of those.
And this cow comes terrific.
Pass the milk.
I feel like the Oreo is the most overrated cookie in that I have like 11 cookies. First off, Petrich Farms makes everything Petrich Farms makes I like more, and Entenmann's, and a few other companies I like more than Oreos. I don't have in the top of my whatever. And if you start explaining how you eat it or what you dunk it in, you're apologizing for your cookie.
So you don't think that a real cookie needs the milk there?
He knows it doesn't.
You don't need a dipping sauce with your cookie, is what you're saying.
I'm saying it's like when people talk about certain music and they go, oh, don't tell me when you're drinking rum on the beach in Jamaica being blown after just winning the lottery, that reggae music doesn't sound pretty good. And it's like, yeah, but not when I'm in my car and in traffic, it doesn't sound pretty good. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you're going to do the, if you heat it and you twist it and you dunk it in a little half and half, and then, you know, you get a nice massage, one of those hot rock massages. Well, yeah, everything's good under those circumstances. We just lay it out on a table and you compare it to other cookies. It comes in somewhere below the 50-50 cut to me. There's at least 35 different. Mm-hmm. First off, there's 5 Girl Scout cookies I probably like more than the Oreo. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah, but you guys?
I got Thin Mints. I got the peanut butter ones. And then I might have some Oreos batting third. Yeah.
Yeah. I like just like regular homemade cookies. I'm one of those assholes.
I just want something soft.
Yeah.
I want soft baked. At this point in my life, I don't want to crunch.
That's not an Oreo.
That ain't Oreo.
Right.
That's not an Oreo.
That shit will scrape up the roof of your mouth. That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunt.
Thank you.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
Oh, Man Great. Get these guys at Man Great. We giving away too many of those things?
Let them fight over it to the death.
$20. And you get the grill and brush with my logo seared right into it.
I was awesome. Using that brush for my hair.
That clip from 2012 and that request, courtesy of listener Nick. Before we get going with the next clip, got to tell everybody once again about LifeLock. This pandemic has led to an astounding increase in unemployment benefit claims filed across the country. And sadly, there are con artists everywhere, and they're taking advantage of this, and they've filed tens of thousands of fraudulent unemployment claims using consumers' identities, like yours. So the FTC has confirmed that, due in large part to the high volume of benefits fraud cases, identity theft has officially moved to the number one spot for fraud in America. All right, this is a serious matter, but luckily we have a LifeLock. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives, and LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. And if they detect your information has been compromised, they'll send you an alert. They'll let you know right away. So make sure to check out LifeLock, right, Gio?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions in all businesses, but you can find out if your information is on the dark web. Get your free dark web scan at lifelock.com/scan. Pick the plan that's right for you and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code Adam. That's a free scan at lifelock.com/scan and 25% off with promo code Adam.
Now, Gio, I might be teasing a future Cruella Classics episode, but you messaged me the other day asking, hey, Chris, what's your most famous drop? Or what? I personally think it's the, here we go. Where I was quoting,
as soon as you said, I'm like, that is it.
Yeah,
that is
where I was quoting Stormy Daniels. I think that was nominated for an ACE Award even. So I believe that's what it is, but trust me, there's a lot of them, and they get pretty bad. So
let us know your favorite Chris drops.
Let's just hope it's that one. But the reason I bring that up is because Ryan from Redondo Beach sent a listener request, and he goes, hey, gents, there was once a story about prisoner requests, and Adam yelled a certain something. Can you remind me of the context? And he wrote what the certain something was, but I want listeners to hear it in its full context without stepping on it. But I will tell you this, it's one of Adam's most infamous drops.
Indeed. This came up on Kroll Classics before. We've played this clip, but not in a while. This is Adam Carolla Show 1166. Mark Garagos, David Wilde, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. Garagos, Allison, Brian, Adam in this portion. It's from September of 2013. I believe it's a news story about prisoners and paintings. Yeah. And what they might want the paintings to be about. And it's a hilarious clip. And it also recently came up on an episode, an interview with between Allison and Brian, and they were reminiscing about how funny it is. And it was great to hear them talking about it all these years in the future. Still, they can't believe how hilarious this moment was. Check it out.
So there's a photo exhibit. It's in Brooklyn right now, but I think it moves around. And it's called Photo Requests from Inmates in Solitary. Or no, sorry. It's called Photo Requests from Solitary. And so people in solitary confinement at this prison in Illinois were asked, if you could see a photo of anything, what would it be?
Pussy lips.
Okay, that can't really be true.
No, it is. I mean, not what Adam said, but
well, they had to,
come on.
They had to filter
this.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Right. This was this was not your top 100.
That took them 17,000 requests before they got to the Taj Mahal.
Right.
Or some guy who Aurora wants to, Borealis.
Right. I want to see the blue sky.
Right.
Maxfield Parrish, please.
So they have some actual photographs, and then they have some of the unfilled requests. Perhaps what you just said, Adam, would be there. Mm-hmm. What I'm wondering, or what I'm realizing, though, is that I don't know that they ever actually get to see these photos.
Oh, really?
I don't know. That's the part that's unclear. But for people in Brooklyn,
it's kind of like a prison Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's more like, what would people in prison, what would their wish be? Let's put it in a museum.
I looked it up. Number one, pussy lips. Number two, Monet's Days at Giverny. That's ironically, just those were the
what's
first
two. What's the difference,
two.
Really, though?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for example, here's a request. I would like to see the downtown Chicago or the Lake of Chicago. It will bring me happiness to see a real nice picture of the downtown, please. A good place to eat or two, you know, nice cars. I've been locked up for 17 long years.
Let me say this, and I don't want to tell you how to live if you're in the hole, but hear me now. I, as a young lad who grew up in my own form of prison known as Carolla House, watching the black and white 13-inch Zenith, the box that came in was probably about the size of the house. I used to watch the shows like the Brady Bunch and get depressed because they would have these Brady meetings where they all showed up into one room with the
and also that
furniture.
Cool Brady house that was
a nice
kind of,
cool art dad was cool, that Alice, everything was cool. The biggest problems they had was, you know, someone got a C minus on a trig
Someone's
test or
voice
something
was changing.
Yeah, right, they had nothing, that started a band. Everything,
they worked so well together.
I would watch that show and I just see Carol and Bob or whoever, no wait, Carol
Mike.
And Mike Brady like climb into bed at night and kiss each other, and she'd be wearing something fashionable and she'd have her hair all done up and stuff, and then I'd look at my pathetic family and want to kill myself. But then I would switch it over to like Sanford and Son or Good Times, and all of a sudden I'd feel a little bit better about myself. These guys should want to see pictures of Turkish prisons.
Right.
And
Midnight Express.
Tijuana Drunk Tank and shit like that, where you go, you know what? Not so bad.
Not so bad here. Right. Why do you want to envy? Why do you want to think about where you can't ever be?
I want to see stills from the show Locked Up Abroad.
Exactly.
And not the reenactments.
Yes, and then you know just how good you had it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Instead, you want to see a bunch of pictures of pyramids and open sky. And,
I don't. You know what? I still don't buy it. I don't buy that this is anywhere near the top of the list of the pictures these guys want to see.
Pussy lips.
Why isn't everyone dying right now?
It might not be near the top.
I don't even think it's in the top 10,000.
I don't buy it.
Yeah. I think this is a contrived story. I don't think there's any way. I've been in prisons. I was in San Quentin 2 months ago. I don't think any guy in there is telling me that I want to go outside and look at the pictures of the bay. I just don't think.
Yeah, they're making them sound like puppies or something.
Right, yeah. I mean, or, you know, kind of nascent poets. Give me a break.
Is San Quentin some of the nicest real estate on the planet?
The most gorgeous real estate. They talk about the budget here in California. You want to solve the budget? You move those guys to the high desert and you sell the real estate there at San Quentin. That view of that area is a developer's dream.
Every time I pass it, I just think, my God, if they put a world, put a championship golf course on here and some condos. They
it's
could,
literally
get rid of the deficit.
It's the most idyllic coastline that you could ever see.
And I mean, it's with the breeze coming. I mean, you know, we live in the valley. It was 117 all that. Not exactly. If you're in San Quentin. You got a beautiful fucking breeze on a peninsula
going by.
Look at that.
Look at the way it juts out there. And it's just.
All right. Because I've been to the prisons in the high desert. You don't need the big old rock walls anymore. Just the razor wire and a little cyclone fencing.
Right. Look at Tehachapi. Have you ever been up to Tehachapi prison? I mean, give me a break. You're never – or that other one that's down past San Diego almost by the border. I mean, that one, there's no way to get out of.
What were you doing in San Quentin?
I was visiting doing a parole hearing. Mm-hmm. And so you have to go in – and I made the – giant mistake at one point. I thought they were going to take me into custody of using the restroom in one of the cells there that's right off of the parole area. And the guy said, oh, you can't use that one. You got to go use the guard's restroom.
Sure, a lot of rules about where you take a piss in this society.
Exactly. I didn't know I couldn't go into lockup. Even though I'm in the lockup with the guy, it's okay for him to take a piss, but I can't take a piss.
Why?
It's beyond me, but I wasn't going to question him. I wanted to get the hell out of there fairly.
And that was one of Adam's most infamous drops.
Even his co-hosts 7 years later, one of them who's no longer with the show, still marvel at how hilarious this moment was, and we're praising him with how genius this bit, how crazy it was.
Exactly. It's fantastic. And once again, thanks to Ryan from Redondo Beach for requesting that clip. All right, that'll do for Corolla Classics. Thanks again for hanging out with us on this lovely Saturday. We'll be back tomorrow, so make sure to subscribe to Corolla Classics. Check out the Sunday Show. And while you're subscribing to podcasts, check out The Water Cooler as well. That's a show that I do with Mike Dawson, Gary Smith, Matt Fondelier, and Kaylin Bean, who all work on the Adam Carolla Show. So if you love ACS, check out the inner workings as the staff really dives deep and gets into the nitty-gritty of why sandwiches are better than pizza. All right.
The bacon is not the best food. And then eventually you'll support their Patreon like I do because you want the real stuff, which is where they talk about even more food stuff and movies and make me disagree with them.
Just come and hang with us. And you can.
Gary's got a great show.
Yell at your speakers like Gio does. All right. We'll see you tomorrow. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Well, and get it on.
That episode of Corolla Classics was brought to you by Geico, because if you switch to Geico during Geico-ween, then you're going to save a ton, all right? October is their favorite time of year, and the folks over at Geico have been working even harder to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. So get a quote today at geico.com and see just how much you could save. Happy Geico-ween, everyone.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!